running out at the same time. Memories dwindled away into the wind. As fast as she could latch onto a thought, it evaporated, leaving nothing behind. She was losing chunks of herself, and she couldn't remember what she was losing. She panicked, burrowing back into the things she was sure of. I am Esk, and I have stolen the body of an eagle, and the feel of wind in feathers, the hunger, the search for not sky below. She tried again. I am Esk, and seeking the wind path, the pain of muscle, the cut of the air, the cold of it. I am Esk, high over air, damp, wet, white. Above everything, the sky is thin. I am... Granny was in the garden, among the beehives. The early morning wind whipped at her skirts. She went from hive to hive, tapping on the roofs. Then, in the thickets of borage and bee balm that she had planted around them, she stood with her arms outstretched in front of her and sang something in tones so high that no normal person could have heard them. But a roar went up from the hives, and then the air was suddenly thick with the heavy, big-eyed, deep-voiced shape of drone bees. They circled over her head, adding their own bass humming to her chant. Then they were gone, soaring into the growing light over the clearing and streaming away over the trees. It is well known, at least it is well known to witches, that all colonies of bees are, as it were, just one part of the creature called the swarm, in the same way that individual bees are component cells of the hive mind. Granny didn't mingle her thoughts with the bees very often, partly because insect minds were strange, alien things that tasted of tin, but mostly because she suspected that the swarm was a good deal more intelligent than she was. She knew that the drones would soon reach the wild bee colonies of the deep forest, and within hours every corner of the mountain meadows would be under very close scrutiny indeed. All she could do was wait. At noon, the drones returned, and Granny read in the sharp, acid thoughts of the hive mind that there was no sign of Esk. She went back into the cool of the cottage and sat down in the rocking chair, staring at the doorway. She knew what the next step was. She hated the very idea of it. But she fetched a short ladder, climbed up creakily onto the roof, and pulled the staff from its hiding place in the thatch. It was icy cold. It steamed.
Above the snow line, then, said Granny.
She climbed down and rammed the staff into a flower bed. She glared at it. She had a nasty feeling that it was glaring back.
Don't think you've won, because you haven't, she snapped. It's just that I haven't got time to mess around. You must know where she is. I command you to take me to her.
The staff regarded her woodenly.
Bye.
Granny paused. Her invocations were a little rusty.
By stock and stone, I order it.
Activity, movement, liveliness, all these words would be completely inaccurate descriptions of the staff's response. Granny scratched her chin. She remembered the little lesson all children get taught. What's the magic word?
Please,
she suggested. The staff trembled, rose a little way out of the ground, and turned in the air so that it hung invitingly at waist height. Granny had heard that broomsticks were once again very much the fashion among younger witches, but she didn't hold with it. There was no way a body could look respectable while hurtling through the air aboard a household implement. Besides, it looked decidedly draughty. But this was no time for respectability. Pausing only to snatch her hat from its hook behind the door, she scrambled up onto the staff and perched as best she could, side saddle, of course, and with her skirts firmly gripped between her knees.
Right, she said. Now,
across the forest, animals broke and scattered as the shadow passed overhead, crying and cursing. Granny clung on with whitened knuckles, her thin legs kicking wildly, as high above the treetops she learned